Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
We're going to go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Once you got it, or while you're on your way, why don't you stand and we'll honor the word of the Lord. We've drawn so much from this passage over the years. Luke 17, we're going to start with verse 11. Are you ready? And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And it came about that as they were going, while they were on the way, that they were cleansed, meaning their skin was healed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet. He began to give thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who would turn back to give glory to God except this one, the foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. That rise and go your way, your faith has made you well, is also interpreted, your faith has saved you. Has saved you. Let's pray over it. Father, your word has been sent to us this morning to bring life, to bring truth. Lord, and with that truth is an exposing of every lie. Lord, we pray that every lie that we've been buying into would be defeated under the power and the authority of your word this morning. Lord, we believe the report of the Lord. This book is the report of the Lord. We choose to believe this report. We choose to believe the picture you're painting for our lives. We choose to buy into these words that you have spoken. These words are spirit. They are life. And we accept it this morning in Jesus' name. And if that sounds good to you, say amen. Amen. You may grab a seat. One out of 10 returned to give praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. To keep with what is happening and what God is doing and to keep in proper stewardship of what God is doing, I want to continue to draw you into a thinking with me and a heart position with me as we move forward. Because it's significant, our thanksgiving and our praise to the Lord. And over the next few Sundays, up through the last Sunday we're here, and that's, like I said, that's the 29th, so that's this Sunday. There's only two more Sundays after this that we'll be in this location, and everything's just happening so quickly. It's just happening so fast. We were, my wife and I were visiting with dear friends yesterday, our good friends. We support them. They're missionaries to Barcelona, John and Brandy Carano. They've been here on a couple of occasions. They just happened to be in the United States, and they just so happened to be in Jackson, Tennessee, doing a missions convention up for another pastor. And so they had a break in their schedule for the week. It was a three-hour break, and we said, okay, let's meet halfway and just hang out. And when you've got valuable relationships in your life, they're worth getting together and meeting. So we did that, and 3 hours felt like 3 minutes. I mean, it did. Our souls are like, it's like Jonathan and David, our souls are just knit together, and just I'm fortunate to have a handful of those friends in my life. But we were talking about everything that's happened, and he said, and he leaned across the table. I told him the story of the church. He said, "So you mean to tell me that in 2 months?" I said, "Yeah, I guess we did. Glory to God." I just hadn't put it in those kinds of terms. And so, but when you think about it, when I told you all the story about when we felt like we had hit the wall and there was nowhere else we could go, and what in the world are we going to do? It was that time. It was the beginning of August. It was the beginning of August. What was the August 5th? August 5th, we got word that this church was available. October 6th, 2 months, we will be having our first service in that place. In 2 months, we've been waiting 16 years. And all of a sudden, God says, "All right, here you go." This is what we in the spirit-filled circle call the suddenlies. Okay, we got a case of the suddenlies happening. Okay, that's in reference to Acts chapter 2, when 120 people were waiting in the upper room. They're just waiting. They don't know what to expect. And then suddenly, a sound like a rushing mighty wind came out of heaven and filled the room where they were at. And suddenly, it's amazing how God can take you from a place where you're just trying to, you're trying to think, man, how am I going to draw my next breath? How am I going to make it to a place to where how in the world am I going to catch my breath with everything that is going to happen, with everything that is happening, how quickly it's moving? Can I tell you, like, what we're in the middle of is absolutely a miracle. It's absolutely a miracle, and I'm not going to shy away from talking about it and continually talking about it because it's just that good. It is what the occasion deserves. To honor the Lord for what he is doing. But it's just absolutely insane how quickly things are moving. One of the stipulations was that the church needed to be able to start, they needed to break down the church we're going to. In order for them to break down on their facility, they needed to close by a certain time frame. They say one of the stipulations is you got to be able to close in 30 days. I called up the banker. "Can we close in 30 days? He goes, sure. Right now, the minimum for residential, just for how busy things are, it typically takes about 45 days to close. For a commercial property, it's typically longer. It's usually 60 to 90 days for the sort of thing. Can I tell you the favor that we've had with the bank, with agents, with everything along the way? It's just falling into place. Like even that we could be able to close in a 30-day time frame is just absolutely unheard of. God has been so faithful through this process, but he's doing it suddenly. And from nothing to everything that's happening all of a sudden. And when God does something on a scale like this, we must respond with the appropriate thanksgiving. Like I said, as the occasion deserves. Our response and our reaction to what he does is much more significant than we realize. Saying thank you. My parents taught us to say please and thank you. Knowing how to ask and how to respond. Because how you exit is just as important as how you enter. And thank you is hard for some people. You know why thank you is hard for some people? Because to be a person of thanksgiving requires a heart that is humble. Of heart. Pride is ugly. Ugly, ugly. Makes your face ugly. It looks really bad on anybody. It's got a face to it. It's got a feeling to it. It's got a spirit to it, little s. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction." And prideful people are not thankful people. We're already beginning to connect the dots to this story of the lepers. Pride is a self-elevating perspective. It's when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And so we can always tell prideful people because they don't know how to say thank you. And ultimately, pride, and I'm just going to touch on this just so we can have a foundation. But pride is a core sin. All sin is pure selfishness. All sin is pure selfishness, and pride is no different. And can I tell you that pride is completely unbiased? Pride does not discriminate based on ethnicity, background, age, gender, income level, or social standing. Pride can be found in anybody, no matter where you're from, what you're doing. From the poorest person on the street corner to the richest person in the mansion, pride can take place. And here's the thing that happens with prideful people. Prideful people, they lack an awareness. Because most of the time it's such a self-centered act. But I will tell you this, to say thank you in itself is an act of humility. To say thank you is an act of humility. I'm going to prove it to you. Saying thank you is more than just showing appreciation. Giving thanks is acknowledging that someone else other than you has done something that you wanted or needed. It is saying thank you. Thank you is a response. I don't thank myself for things. Do you for something? Well, maybe you do. I mean, I have conversations with myself, but I can't recall thanking myself for something. A thank you is reserved. And maybe it was something that you were even unexpected. Maybe it was an unexpected blessing or something that took place. But it is always toward someone else and not yourself. That's why we must enter into his gates with thanksgiving, because it is a lowering, it's a humbling of oneself to give thanks to someone else. Psalm 104, that's what we just quoted. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But you know what the setup is for that? Verse 3, the verse right before it, it says, because you need to know that the Lord himself, he is God, and it is he who made us, not we ourselves. Therefore, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Understand that it wasn't you who did this thing, it was him who did this thing, and therefore you can come with an appropriate praise and a heart of humility that brings thanksgiving. Humility brings us to thanksgiving. Humbling ourselves, lowering like the one out of the 10 who came back. He did two things. He came back and he glorified the Lord. He gave God the praise. He gave God the praise. He said thank you. And then he fell at Jesus' feet and worshiped. Here's what the other lepers missed. Jesus had more to offer. Everybody with me? Here's what the other lepers missed. Jesus had more to offer. Glory to God. He had more to offer than physical healing. As good as the physical healing was and needed and desperately wanted, these men cried out to God, or cried out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Master, have mercy on us. As good as that answer was, Jesus had more to offer. And one came back. Jesus had salvation. Jesus had peace. He had joy. He had love. He had life. He is ready to offer life. When 9 were so just caught up in getting their miracle. And just getting their miracle. and just getting what they needed so that they could continue on with the life that they wanted to live. Some people, when they get their miracle, you don't see them after that. They got what they needed from God, and they're on to the next thing. And the next time they come up and they really need God for something, then they'll call out to God, Jesus, Master, we know how to use the language when it's something that we really need or we really want. Jesus, Master, have mercy. Again, Jesus has more to offer than just a miracle. He has more to offer than just mercy. I thank God that His mercies are new every morning. I depend upon those mercies. But I don't live from merciful moment to merciful moment. I need a God that's greater than that. He didn't say, I've come that you might have miracles and that you might just have mercy when you're in trouble and you need my help and you need a bailout. He said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Now, those miracles and those promises and the supernatural and the signs and the wonders and all that follow the belief, they come with that life. They come with it. And God is, He's offering more than just what's in His hand. He's offering His hand. Jesus proved it by letting them drive stakes through them. He's offering His hand to lead, to guide us. He has more to offer than the miracle. He's more than merciful. He's good. Verse 13, it says this. They raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. All of them raised their voices and all of them cried out. All were given an instruction. And listen, all obeyed the instruction. All received the mercy and the miracle they asked for. All were healed. All 10 of them. One returned to pour out thanksgiving. And the difference between what God does next in each one of us is not just the miracle we're looking for. It's our response to what He's already done. Listen again. The difference between what God does next in us is not just the miracle that we're looking for. It is the response to what He has already done. What He's already done. Listen, there is a level of worship beyond obedience. It's called adoration. There's a level of worship and a response that is beyond just this is what we're supposed to do at this time during the service, and this is my religious responsibility. This is my obedience. Can I tell you, I thank God for that obedience. I thank God that that obedience was instilled in me and I just respond without thinking. But there is something that God has been trying to get my heart to, and that is not just obeying for the sake of obeying. The leper, the one, came back. Jesus didn't say, hey, now when y'all get healed, y'all come back and give me some praise. That wasn't the instruction. That wasn't the instruction. So they followed the instruction. They were obedient to the instruction. And then, because they were obedient, the one who was who saw what had happened and turned around took the thing to another level. To adoration of the one who had touched him. He came back to the source of the instruction. The rest of them were fine, obeying the instructions, blah, blah, blah. We fulfilled the formula. We did this. We did A, B, and C. We did what he asked. We went on to the priest. Now we can keep going. And the one had a revelation of the power of Jesus Christ and who that one was. He came back worshiping God, giving God the thanks, glorifying the Lord, and he fell at his face. He fell on his face and at the feet of Jesus. Laid himself before in adoration. Oh. My God, that level of adoration, it's more than just lifting our voice because it's required. It is lifting our voice because it is a desire. It's moved from a requirement to a desirement. Look it up. It's a real word. No, it's not. But it felt good. Preachers have that ability. Can I tell you that? Pastors and preachers? We can make up new words. Yes. It is a liberty. Yeah. Poetic license. Right? So what's my point? My point is this. What happened here, this isn't a Vegas slogan. What happened here doesn't stay here. What happened here, we take with us. What happened here, and in this place, is worth celebrating. It's worth giving thanks. And you've not been here for 13 years. You've not been here for 16 years. You've barely been here 16 minutes. But there is a lesson to be learned, and there is a revelation to see of Jesus in every stage and every season that we're in. And to give him glory for what he has done here will make the difference for where you are headed next. Let me prove it again. He who is faithful in a little thing. Become a ruler over much. I'll make you a ruler over much. Being faithful with what you've been given in thankfulness and in praise. And I said, God, we've been talking about this. I think we've been doing that pretty good. Ever since we found out, we've been giving him praise and we've been giving him thanksgiving. But I'm telling you, he's bringing us into the heart of thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving is a part of who we are. We say it like this. We learned this a long time ago as worship leaders. We say this. Worship isn't a moment. It's a lifestyle. Thanksgiving must become a lifestyle. It must become something that is a second nature, a Jesus nature response to what is happening. And that is a removal of pride that says, because pride says, I somehow deserve this. Or even, I somehow earned this. My God, if we're going to move forward successfully, it will be because we have been thankful here for what has happened here. Carry that same thankfulness. So that when we get there, we won't say all of these things. Remember what we talked about last week. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, remember, I'm going to bring you into the land. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. All this thing's going to happen. The gold's going to multiply. The silver's going to multiply. There's going to be copper in the fields. You'll be able to dig that up. You're going to be victorious over your enemies. I'll give you peace on the right, the left, north, south, east, and west. I'm going to do all of these things. When God does what he says he would do, remember to be thankful. Remember to be thankful. When he starts to multiply and you begin to see his blessings, and when God does something like this and he provides a place that is twice the capacity, twice the potential to reach, twice the potential to have ministry happening, all of these things taking place, when all of that happens and I do what I said I would do, because he's a God of his word, of his promises, when I do that, remember to be thankful. How we steward this determines what happens next. That's what was happening for the leper. He was stewarding the moment by giving Jesus praise, and Jesus responded with something else. And notice it was the one that nobody expected. It was the Samaritan. They just threw that in there. Oh, and by the way, it was the Samaritan. By the way, it was the foreigner among you. It was the one who doesn't know any better, is what that means. They don't know any better. Hadn't been raised in the religious system. Hadn't been raised in the churchy thing. But he didn't even need to be raised in that. He just knew if God did this, God deserves praise. He deserves it so much to come back. And before I take another step, I will honor him and I will bless him.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.